welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message was recorded and produced at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Even though there are multiple kids' songs out there about the fruit of the Spirit, this passage as a whole is not exactly kid-friendly, all right? Think about it. Paul juxtaposes the fruit of the Spirit with the works of the flesh here, and I've never heard a second parallel verse, right? The works of the flesh are... You can't really, it's going to be awkward, right? If I went on and sang that list to you, you might be squirming in your seats a bit. It's awkward. It's not very catchy. There's more in that list, you know, so you have to go on a lot longer with the song. And not only that, Paul's teaching here is not a Kool-Aid and cookie vacation Bible school lesson when you read the whole passage. There are some intense themes. And the whole passage overall, even parts before, show that intensity. So with that, I think about even a couple weeks ago, we talked about Paul said, you don't add anything else to the gospel, right? And his example was circumcision. And then he goes on to say, you know, if you add that, you're destroying the gospel to add the gospel and anything else. So if you add that, you might as well have a pretty serious surgery and takes things further. Paul put this in the land where it is not for kids because it is a battle. Because, you realize, Paul ain't playing, right? This is not kid stuff we're talking about. It's not child's play. So with that, that leads into three cautions as we look at the passage tonight. I've kind of introduced the first one there, but three cautions I want us to think about together as we let this passage speak to us. First of all, don't look at this passage as child's play. Don't look at this passage as child's play. This is battle, all right? And the first two verses that we'll look at tonight highlight a little bit more there, that this is not a song, this is not a play area, this is battle. The second caution I would give is don't look at this passage as all about effort. The point is not try harder or do better. If we start to set up a continuum of works of the flesh, and fruit of the Spirit, and that we're trying to just get farther along the continuum, closer to fruit of the Spirit, that is not at all what is being taught here. We're not trying to climb or impress our way or work our way up a continuum. This is not, that is of works, not of grace, if we look at it that way. So it's not try harder or do better. And the third is, don't let this passage be so familiar that you don't allow it to be supernatural. Don't let this passage be so familiar that you don't allow it to be supernatural. And what do I mean by that? Tonight, as we look at the passage again, it may be so familiar for many of you that it is hard to hear some things anew or even hear what you already know and understand about it well. So in that, watch for fresh ways that God might speak to you and expect His Spirit to move through the passage tonight. Whether that is conviction or pruning, whether that is encouragement, or whether that is just a simple joy in the call to walk daily with your God. So don't let it be so familiar that you don't allow God to do something supernatural. So let's look more closely at the first three verses, and I'll read them again, 16 through 18. But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Again, Paul makes it clear that there is a battle here. But he also makes it clear that we need to understand the nature of the battle. In this battle, who are the chief combatants? Who are the sides against each other? Is it me versus sin? Or you versus sin? It's easy to think that way. In Paul's list of works of the flesh in our passage, one that has often been at the center of the battle for me is fits of anger. My family of origin had a lot of anger and expressed it freely. I don't say that to place blame tonight, but to give you context. I chose to battle fits of anger with fits of anger. It is my sin, and I nurtured and developed that sin in me. I applied more subtle forms of that sin, not just the obvious, explosive, visible fits of anger, but also the ability to do the single, well-placed, piercing, hurtful word. I became quite good at a very enslaving sin. That's been part of my story. And even though it is an area where I can still see the enemy's fiery darts, I can also see the sanctifying work of God in that area. So praise be to God for the conviction of the Holy Spirit in dealing with my heart. But in this, I've got to make sure that I'm not looking at this as me versus the sin. When I look at the battle as me versus sin, whenever I take that approach, I'm toast, all right? Whenever you look at the battle of you versus sin, you're toast. Rolling up my sleeves and ratcheting up my willpower has led me to failure again and again and again. So back to my question, who are the combatants? According to verses 16 and 17, it's the desires of the flesh versus the desires of God's Spirit. When I make the battle me versus sin, here's what I'm doing. All right, sin, you're going down. Step aside, Holy Spirit, I got this, okay? And you hear the foolishness of that? We'd never say that out loud, but whenever we view the battle that way, instead of saying, no, it is God's Spirit is now in me as a follower of Jesus Christ, and that Spirit is battling what is to be the crucified old man in me or the old self in me. And when I make the battle that, okay, I can do this, I can get this going, I can fight this fight, and don't welcome in the Holy Spirit, and don't say, no, I'm keeping in step with the Holy Spirit. I'm walking with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one. The battle belongs to the Lord. If I don't have that mentality, and I just like, oh, I'm ready for this fight. I know I've been knocked out so many times by this sin when I've tried to attack it alone. I can do it this time. When I take that approach, I'm toast. So that is where we need to know where the battle lines are drawn, and that we step in walking on the side of the Holy Spirit, a much more powerful and a much more empowering place to be. Verse 18 says this, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. When I make it my battle, I'm putting myself back under the law. My new life is in Christ. My new life is to walk with the Spirit and be led by Him. Here's another way that Paul says this in Romans 6. Verses 11 through 14. He says, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Again, my calling is to reset the direction of my heart from under law to under grace. My calling is not merely to do battle with my old self's offerings to sin and desires of the flesh, but to offer myself to God and let Him do the work, to orient my thoughts and devotion toward Him as He sanctifies me, as He works in my heart and convicts me of the places that my heart is not aligned with Him. Resisting the desires of the flesh is not about willpower, but about the Spirit's work and the Spirit's empowerment. And the older I get, the more I realize I am in the baby pool of learning about the work of the Holy Spirit. We do not embrace enough this gift that God has given us to say, now that my son has come up to heaven, has come to heaven and is interceding for you at my right hand, I leave you my Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is our empowerment in the battle of sin. The Holy Spirit is the lead in the battle against sin. We don't battle alone, because when we do, we're toast. So it's not about me winning the battle over the flesh, but it's about me getting out of the way so the Spirit wins as I trust Him, make my offerings of attention and devotion to Him, and let God lead in the battle against sin. All right, the second of three sections we'll look at tonight is verses 19 and 21. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I won't give the list itself a lot of attention here with examples or definitions. That's probably a whole other sermon could be filled with just talking about these areas. And also, you probably, as I read that list, you know where the battleground is for your life. And the emphasis here is not on individual acts of sin. The emphasis is about drive or mastery or lordship. What is it that drives your decisions in your life? What is it that might have mastery over you? What is it that you turn and make Lord of your life instead of Christ? For example, for me, the most important work I need to do is not aim at weeding out all the instances of anger in my life, but my work is to examine the orientation of my heart. Is my heart oriented toward allowing fits of anger to drive my response or to get my way? If that's my main drive, that letting fits of anger leave, then I am allowing fits of anger to be Lord. I'm allowing fits of anger to become my master instead of walking in the Spirit. You see, you can see that in each part of the list. Again, for me, to lash out in anger is sin, but to live a life led by fits of anger is to put myself under a false Lord. To get drunk is sin, but to live a life of drunkenness is to put yourself under a false Lord. There are many sexual sins, but to live a life mastered by lust and misplaced sexual expression is to put yourself under a false Lord. There are many ways to use our speech that are sin, but to be a continuing creator of dissension and division is to put yourself under a false Lord. So in this, we don't let the shame of sin enslave us. As a follower of Christ, you receive the grace that he brought you at the cross, and in forgiveness received, you continue to orient your life in the direction of the one and only Lord of your life, and that is Jesus. You continue to walk in the Spirit. This side of heaven, there will be sin, but continue to let the long-haul sanctification of God do its work as you guard your heart and shut the door to other masters that would creep in. Now, the last phrase, the last verse in this section sounds ominous and troubling. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not enter the kingdom, will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it should get our attention, but I want to tell you it's more encouraging than it initially sounds. Let me point you to three encouragements in that phrase. The first is related to what I've already been saying. Do not fear an individual sin separating you from God or his kingdom, but you guard your heart against the mastery of sin in your life. Paul's words, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, does not mean you've been bad, so no kingdom for you, but it's an evidential statement. As you choose to make Jesus the ongoing Lord of your heart and life, the fruit of your life will surely show and slowly begin to show and evidentially relate that you belong to the kingdom. So that's the encouraging part of that, instead of this thing of fear of like, oh no, anything's just going to cut me off from the kingdom of God. The second encouragement is that the warning here is not about some gate being shut in your face in the future. It is about a loving father who doesn't want you to miss connection with him. You see, Jesus is always talking about the kingdom of God in an already and not yet sense. Jesus says things that tie to ideas of the kingdom has come, the kingdom is coming, the kingdom will come, and all of those are true, the way Jesus talks about the kingdom. So if you read this in a thing like, oh, this is this one point in heaven, and the door is shut, the inheritance will not come to you there. But the great news is your inheritance begins now. Your inheritance in Christ is here on this earth and beyond. As a follower of Jesus, you are already coming into your inheritance. Heaven is going to be amazing, and God does not want you to miss your inheritance in the kingdom and your sonship and your daughtership right now. And then the last encouragement from this phrase, I love that Paul says, I warn you as I warned you before. This passage is not a one-time teaching in the life of Paul to the Galatians. A priority in his teaching and his discipleship was to help the Galatians see that living the Christian life was walking in the Spirit and bearing the fruit that gives testimony to the powerful work that Jesus is the only true Lord. So finally, the last section, the one I sang about earlier and you didn't leave, and I'm grateful that you didn't leave when I sang, the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So again, as I alluded to earlier, don't let the two different lists confuse you here. The message here is not, be good, don't be bad. That's not the overall message of these two lists beside each other. The message is not try harder. The message is not be gooder, okay? None of those are the message here. You get this, okay? I'm being repetitive, but you get this. The message is trust Jesus as Lord and walk in the Spirit. Have I said this enough times here? The message is you trust Jesus as Lord and you walk in the Spirit. A few summers ago, my eldest daughter had an internship at Chick-fil-A Corporate in Atlanta. And I wondered then, and you might wonder, well, at the corporate offices in Atlanta, do they say things like, my pleasure? You know, do they? And you might wonder that, right? Well, a lot of people did. Her experience was, yeah, that was very common there. And that's part of maybe the success of Chick-fil-A. Over the years, they've done a great job of consistency in their organizational culture. But there were a few folks she worked with that they kind of had fun with it and they joke about it. If someone did something nice or said something nice or kind, the response might be, wait, are you really being kind to me or are you just being Chick-fil-A nice? Okay, and you get what they're saying? They're saying, okay, you just said something nice. Is that really because you value our friendship? You want to bless this part of our friendship? You want to bless me? Or is it a duty here that you're just saying, I've got to be nice in this. I'm going to be Chick-fil-A nice. I have to say my pleasure. I have to do this and whatnot. And you get the contrast there, right? There's a big difference between a joyful connection and a perceived duty, right? So it is with the fruit of the Spirit. We are not efforting out or squeezing out strawberries of kindness, right? That is not fruit of the Spirit. We are not mustering up our willpower to produce a forced kindness. Instead, we are tapping into the bountiful resources of a generous Father. The call is to step into the true freedom of being in the Spirit. Rest in God and let Him bear fruit in you. Our passage begins and ends with bookends of walk by the Spirit. Verse 16, I say, let us walk by the Spirit. And then verse 25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And I love the image of walking here, and it really helps me. It reminds me of how my bride and I, from time to time, get too busy to communicate well. We know this is happening when we find ourselves talking about what's going on in our lives, and then we start to say things like, hey, you haven't told me about that, or what? I haven't told you about that? And all the things that we're not communicating well about. And one of the great correctors there, one of the great cures for us is regular walks together, where there's no other interruptions, we have each other's attention. And in these walks, they're so helpful in getting that communication going. They're so helpful in reminding each other of our connection and our commitment and our intimacy. And it's no accident that walks bring that, and that Paul is telling us and telling the Galatians that we are called to walk in the Spirit and to keep in step with the Spirit. It's a wonderful picture of the relationship, isn't it? Right? The connection, the commitment, the intimacy. Our Lord is our life. Connection to Him is our life. commitment to Him is our life. Intimacy with Him is our life. To close up tonight, I think about the best parallel passage there is to the end of Galatians 5 is the beginning of John 15. Another pretty familiar passage to a lot of believers. It is the call to abide in Him. It is the call to let Him do the difficult work of pruning. It is the call to let Him do the beautiful work of bearing fruit through us. And it is the call for us to embrace the truth that we can do absolutely nothing by ourselves apart from Him. So as I close with these five verses tonight, I ask you this week, as you begin your mornings with God every day, why not just, as a little exercise just for this week, spend a few minutes.
We're so glad
read
you found
these
this
last
message
verses
today.
Of Galatians 5.
You can find more resources, including previous podcasts,
John 15,
at NorthStarFamily.org.
And remember that the work of that
thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.
Or to be the one who boxes the sin out of your life, but to be the one who walks with the Spirit, the one who trusts Him for the fruit, the one who lets Him lead the way in the way that only He can, the only way that really, truly lets us soak in the freedom that He's given us by the cross and by the empty tomb.